The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 224. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. Alongside me, as always, is the PlayStation powerhouse, Ryan Clements.
Yipcha!
And he only does everything Colin Moriarty. Ladies and gentlemen, we are recording on a lovely Thursday here in San Francisco. The date happens to be January 26th, and if it's like the moon and the stars align to bring the worst news possible in time for Podcast Beyond.
Yes.
Colin Moriarty, bring me the topic of the week, the lead story in the Roper Report, everything right now. What is happening?
Insomniac has revealed. I'm just going to read
Wait.
It. No, we're not going to. We'll do Roper Report afterwards.
It's a conversational podcast.
The topic of the week is
Is breaking news.
Is that Insomniac will not be making another Resistance game.
That's right. Insomniac, developers of Resistance Fall of Man, Resistance 2, Resistance 3, now saying they're done. Yep. Franchise over. For them.
For them, yeah. It's sad. They spoke to VG247 about it. Ted Price, who is their CEO, he's been there, you know, there the entire time he founded the company, said, quote, "We won't be making any more Resistances." That was his quote. Not surprised he considered Resistance 3 didn't sell very well.
It was the best one.
It was by far the best one.
Yeah.
And like not even a contest between which one's the best one. It's just so the game is so good. It had an extra year of development time. It was really slick. It's much better than Killzone for sure. And probably I would say the best exclusive shooter on the console. Criminally underrated, criminally underplayed, and we reap what we sow.
I don't even know if it's that underrated though. Remember, a lot of people liked it. That was the interesting thing.
They didn't
like
it enough.
But no, I think they did. I saw a lot of nines and stuff. And I remember, you know, the big thing with the Resistance 3 is we didn't want you to review it because we didn't want people to worry that they couldn't trust the score. So we gave it to one of our guys, and he gave it a 9.
Luke Riley? Steve Lambrecht.
Yeah, thank you. And then I was like, okay, cool, but I don't know him super well. And then all the other ones started coming in from other sites, and they were all in the same boat. And a lot of people were saying it was the best Resistance, and I thought for sure that was going to equate to really good sales, but no.
No.
Yeah.
It's you know, to put this in the context for people, we just recorded a PlayStation conversation. You'll be able to find that on IGN and YouTube later. But to put it into context, Sony owns Resistance and Sony owns Ratchet and Clank, and those are obviously two of Insomniac's big franchises. So the series, I don't know what the status of Ratchet and Clank is. All for One obviously wasn't a gangbusters hit either, even though it was really good. It's all kind of a mystery right now what Insomniac's doing. We know they're working on Overstrike, which is going to be their very first in their 17-year history, their very first multi-console game. And they're also working on a Facebook or social games. They have this whole social game commission.
Insomniac Committee,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know what they're doing yet. But it's just sad because, you know, they were so good. And they've been with PlayStation for such a long time. And it looks like this is, you know, I don't know. We reached out to Sony. We reached out to Insomniac. We'll see what they say. But this seems like it's the death knell of them doing exclusives at all.
Yeah.
And that's sad. That's a sad day for everyone that plays PlayStation, I think.
Well, you'll still get those games. But yeah, we won't have the ability to hold over an exclusive, I guess, over some Xbox fan.
Yeah. I mean, they were always looked at as a first party, even though they're not. And it's just, you know, it's, yeah, Overstrike. We've never seen Overstrike actually any gameplay, so we don't know what that game's all about. But it's just, I don't know, it's just sad to me because it's like losing, it would be like, you know, it's just like losing a friend that has been there with you on all your PlayStation consoles.
But they're still there. Marcus Smith will still be around.
God bless him.
All right. Kyle writes in to beyond@ign.com to be part of the show, just like you can, listener at home or in your van full of nuns. Kyle says, I just heard the news about Insomniac Games leaving Resistance, presumably to enter the hands of another developer down the line. Of course, he's saying Sony owns Resistance. Mm-hmm. We've already seen Ben take on Resistance with Resistance Retribution on PSP. Right. Now we're getting Resistance Burning Skies in the Vita from the good folks...
Nihilistic.
Over at Nihilistic. I always have trouble remembering that one.
They're the ones that did PlayStation Move Heroes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So now he says, but now he's talking about, you know, in another developer picking up Resistance on PS3. Usually I'm okay with a situation like this. More often than not, developers say goodbye to a franchise after wrapping it up in the way they wanted and leaving the fans with a sense of closure. Given the atrocious ending of Resistance 3, I don't feel like that's the case here, and I'm torn. Insomniac has left Resistance fans wanting, and I'm curious as to what the Beyond Crew's feelings are over the matter. I know Colin can't be happy right now. Are you the ending? You weren't happy with the ending.
No, I think the ending was terrible.
I would say terrible is a bit strong, but
it was terrible. I mean, it was not Resistance.
All right.
I mean, think about the cadence of the series and how dark it was and how it got darker and darker. Resistance 2 ended with the main character being murdered. Sorry, spoiler. The game came out in 2008. Deal with it. You know, he's murdered, and then in the beginning, Resistance 3, you're playing as the guy who killed him. You know, and it's like, okay, this is awesome, and the game's just dark and really dreary and dark. And then I'm going to give everyone a chance because I'm going to talk about Resistance 3's ending right now. So if you don't want to hear about Resistance 3's ending, I will give you 5 seconds to turn the podcast off.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Everybody dies.
And now a world premiere video from Britney Spears.
Thanks, late 90s MTV. So at the end of Resistance 3, they get to New York City. Everything seems dark and dreary. The Chimera have this wormhole. You see the Chimera, you know, as Marcus Smith confirmed to us, you see the wormhole, the fucking Chimera and homeworld is on the other side of it. You know, so you're like, oh, all right, now we're going to go. We're actually going to see the Chimera. We're going to see all these things. This isn't going to work. Like all the other Resistance games, everything's just going to get worse. You know, and then they'll cut it off and then there'll be another one. But no, you win. You win. The game suddenly, very suddenly ends. You know, you destroy the tower. The wormhole disappears. You see this ending about how everything's kind of getting back to normal. No one's heard from the Chimera. Like, they're retreating. And that's it. I don't know. The ending's fine in a vacuum, I guess. But when you put it in the context of what Resistance is, it was a terrible ending.
And this is what I've been saying about Resistance 3 in general, though, is I think that's a game that's meant to be played in a vacuum. I don't think Resistance 1 and 2 really play into it all that much, other than the fact you're Capelli who killed Hale. That's all that you need to know, that you need to know, and they explain it in the opening video, and then you're on your own. And that's why people were asking us when it was coming up, like, oh, should I go back and play them? And I was like, no, I really don't think you need to. But, because they feel like two different franchises, games, or whatever. It's almost like, in a way, like when you read, you know, like in DC Comics or any comic book, you know that universe so well that you can read one-shots in Elseworlds and something else and see what they're doing with the same kind of pieces and how they're putting it together in a different way. And that's what it always felt like to me. And that's why I like Resistance 3 so much, and I think Resistance 3 works so well on a broad scale of reviewers and people in general, just in the fact that it is a standalone game. There is no giant hook that, oh my god, what's going to happen in the next game? It's kind of all, like, there could totally be a Resistance 4. Oh, you know, because all you've done is close that wormhole. The Chimera are still on the Chimera infected people are still on Earth. They're feral. All this crap is still happening. These people still have a struggle uphill, but it's not the same thing anymore of, oh my god, alien invaders, what are they doing? What are we going to have?
Yeah, the Earth's not getting colder anymore. Like, it's not, like, quite as existential, which to me, like, is what the series was all about. Was like, wow, this is getting, you know, in Fall of Man, you're in Europe, like, the Chimera had just revealed themselves from Russia after, you know, the Tunguska event, you know, several decades earlier. You know, they're fighting in England. The battle, you know, goes well somewhat, but doesn't really. The Chimera basically still win. Then they send spires into North America. The spires, like, erupt into and start infecting everyone in the Northeast. Resistance 2 happens. And then everything's just getting worse and worse. Then Hale dies at the end. Capelli kills him. But Hale's, you know, blood makes some sort of, you know, vaccine or whatever. So that's how Resistance 3 begins. And then the game, I agree with you that the game is somewhat self-contained. Resistance 1 and 2 are really intimately intertwined with each other, I think. And Resistance 3 is a standalone game, but it was just so much, you know, I think Fall of Man and Resistance 2 are excellent games, but Resistance 3 is fucking awesome, you know? Like, it's just a really good game. It's really it's one of the best shooters I've ever played. It's got everything that you really would want in a shooter. It's got, you know, that I want in a shooter, I should say, which is, you know, a great plot and setting and characters.
Good characters, really good characters.
And, you know, it looks great. It had a year extra development time over the other two, so you could just see all that stuff. It's just a fucking shame, you know, that the game didn't sell better. It really is, it's criminal, you know? Like, it's just one of those games that I don't understand why people didn't play it. It probably has something to do with that fucking Kevin Butler commercial, but I digress.
Ziggy writes in to beyond@ign.com. Ziggy says, Beyond. With Insomniac no longer willing to continue the franchise, how would Colin feel if Resistance became a handheld-only series?
I think that's, I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, Retribution is a game you really love and you have a lot of experience with them. Yeah. And Sony Bend, obviously, is, you know, they did they've done Uncharted. And then these are the guys, of course, that did Siphon Filter. So, I mean, these guys have a great pedigree. And they did nice work. And as I revealed in my story with them, they tried to make another Resistance game on PSP. That was something they told me. And we broke that news or whatever. And that was turned down. So they tried to do that. The Vita game is being done by Nihilistic, which admittedly I've talked to those guys. They're nice guys. They're working really hard on it. I've played Resistance several times on Vita, and it's good. Just from what I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't have quite the same pedigree. I mean, we don't really know what they're capable of, and I'm not sure if they're the ones that can really continue this series. And unfortunately, Retribution takes place in between what, 1 and 2, and then Burning Skies also takes place in between 1 and 2. So these games are telling ancillary stories that you really don't... They're interesting, but you don't really care about it, you know?
Like, it's not between 2 and 3.
No,
I always got them mixed
no,
up.
No, it's during Retribution took place in England, obviously.
Right.
This one takes place in New York while the spires are infecting everyone. Okay. So this is like right before Resistance 2 begins.
Got it.
And that's cool. And you play as a fireman, and that's all really cool. But I want to see, you know, the storytellers at Insomniac. They're the ones that flesh out the story. When I talked to Nihilistic, they basically were saying, like, you know, Insomniac still wrote the story. I mean, it's still within the confines of their lore. So I just want to see, like, if someone else is capable of continuing the story to such a high degree that Marcus Smith and his team were able to do with Resistance 3, because the story aspect of the game and the setting is what made the game. It's what makes the game. I lent that game to actually gave a copy to my brother-in-law because I bought his family a PlayStation 3 for my sister and obviously for my nephews, and I gave him that game, and he text messaged me like a few nights after I left. He's like, Resistance, I beat it. Like, Resistance 3 is fucking awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, and he doesn't play games very much or whatever, and I was like, this game has great appeal, you know? That I just think there was a lot of problems. I think there was a marketing issue with the game. I said from the beginning, I was like, that box art is cool, but it sucks for as far as like putting it on a shelf.
By, yeah.
Like, who the hell is going to pick that up and be like, oh, Resistance 3 is going to be a great... I think they just shot themselves in the foot with that. I think that there was a lot of problems with it. I really think it's a shame. I really do.
It is a shame. My prediction, Burning Skies isn't going to sell awesome, and that'll be the end. And if it ever comes back, it'll be years from now, and it'll be some kind of reboot. Somebody picks up and does something different. It'll be Resistance Wars, kind of.
I think Resistance Wars?
RTS. Cool. There.
I think that's a very accurate statement.
Yes. I mean, it's a dark day for you, Colin Moriarty. It's a dark day for me, too, because the news came, you know, as we're getting in today, and it kind of threw off our schedule. So now we're backed up into the lunch hour, and we're getting free Pachis pizza today as part of an IGN meeting, and we're going to have to be in this goddamn podcast room doing this show for you people.
Well, we have a half an hour before the pizza gets here.
Oh, I know, so. But I hate rushing through the show. It'll go organic.
All right, so let's do the Roper Report, then.
Let's begin Podcast Beyond, episode 224, with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Give me a yip-cha.
Yip-cha!
There are now 6 items on the Roper Report.
Okay.
What?
Sorry, Utidi, though, is the Jawas, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. Good.
Yip-cha is the Ewok.
Yes, yes.
So let's play a game. Since
your Ewok Yip-cha is hauntingly good.
Yeah, it is. It's let's play a game of I Doubt It or I Guarantee It.
Okay. Do you want to explain the rules for the kids at home? If this is their first Podcast Beyond, they've missed 223 episodes. Where have you been?
Basically, we just, you know, I'll read the news and Greg will tell me if he thinks it's good, if it's like worthy of being on the Roper Report, in which he'll say, I guarantee it.
I guarantee it.
Which is obviously the Men's Warehouse guy. And then if it's not good and he doesn't think it belongs on that, then he'll say, I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Which is obviously Bob's Discount Furniture.
obviously.
Number one. THQ has revealed that it's ready to shift focus. Quote, THQ will be more streamlined organization focused only on our strongest franchises, end quote, THQ's president and CEO Brian Farrell said. He continues, the success of Saints Row the Third is an example of what our revised strategy and focus can achieve. We have now shipped 3.8 million copies globally and are expecting to ship between 5 and 6 million units lifetime on this title. This news comes on the heels of rumors swirling about THQ's imminent demise, and right before the podcast, Greg Miller did break the story about, unfortunately, 75 people or so being let go of THQ, being laid off today. So,
I guarantee it. Real quick, too, on the breaking news story, thanks much to an inside tipster who emailed IGN. Remember, you can get us at beyond@ign.com. This is a news tip I don't forget what the news tip address is. Yeah. Anyways, you know, somebody who saw something was happening emailed us in about it, and we were able to get some answers before anybody else, so that was helpful. Really interesting news story. I'm very fascinated right now. Well, and I don't, you know that, Colin, you know, the numbers game and the corporate stuff, that's more your scene. You're always a big fan of that. Yeah. Whereas I could usually like, whatever. But like this one in particular, I find very interesting because it was prefaced with this whole, you know, thing over the weekend that THQ was canceling their entire 2014 lineup. This is a couple weekends ago. Mm-hmm. Canceling all of their games for 2014, that which basically meant they were trying to finish what they had and sell the company and get out while they could. And then they released a statement saying that's not the case. We are not doing that. And then there's this whole structuring now. We're not doing kids games anymore. And now they're laying off 75. And it's like crazy shit is happening right now in Agoura Hills, California. And it's very fascinating to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be scary if I was, if I was an employee there, I think I'd be, it'd be very nerve wracking.
Anytime stuff like this starts to happen. Yeah.
It's really bad.
Our thoughts are with anybody who's part of that. Plenty of people I know down there.
It's a shame. I mean, it's always sad when anyone gets laid off anywhere. I mean, this economy sucks and obviously people dump their lives and into these companies and business realities often catch up with those kinds of situations. Yeah. What's really sad to me are two things. There's one thing that I think is positive about what's happening. Not that it's positive when everyone loses their job, but THQ did tell you that this isn't affecting internal development studios. So their five studios that they own seem to like they're still all working on their games, which is good for now. So at least we still have some games from THQ to come back.
Yeah.
But what this also reminds me of, even though it has nothing to do with this podcast, it has more to do with Unlocked, is these rumors about Xbox 720 and something that I think is really positive, which is that they're talking about locking out used games.
Mm-hmm. Haven't heard, there's rumors right now that the next Xbox will be able to differentiate between new and used games, and thus if you bought a used game, it wouldn't let you play it in the system.
Which is crazy. I think I'm fine with that.
When we're talking about codes, basically, right, is what this would be like, pretty much like an activation code for a PC game.
Yeah, I would just want, that's all well and good. I just want to make sure that if like my system were to break and I had to buy a new system, suddenly all the games I bought for it don't
work
anymore.
See, that's what a lot of people said.
I'm assuming it'd be account-based.
They're not stupid.
Exactly. It would be like right now when if my PlayStation 3 died today, all my PlayStation 3 games are attached to my profile. It's the same way with Xbox Live. Everything I've bought is attached to my, my gamer tag. So it would be there for re-download. I don't see the issue there.
Right. It's the same as Steam. It's the same as any other digital platform. Yeah.
I'm better now. Why that reminded me of that is that, you know, we talk about the death of the mid-tier publisher and the mid-tier developer.
You talk about it a lot.
And a lot of people in the industry talk about it.
I'm kidding.
And it's a fucking huge problem. And because you only have like, you know, like I always say, unless you want to play fucking nothing but Call of Duty and shitty touch games your entire life, you better start supporting the mid-tier developer that makes games like Homefront, that make games like Saints Row and all those games. And I think that, you know, this situation with Xbox could actually be positive for a company like THQ because you're going to, you know, like I always talk about the rampant sense of entitlement gamers have about used games. And this really brings to bear the reality of the situation that PC gamers have already been dealing with for a long time, which is that you don't buy used games. When you buy a game and it comes with an activation code, you can't give it to your friend. When you download a game off of Steam, you can't sell it. You can't give it off to a friend. That's not the way it works, you know? So this is just the reality of the situation for people that play games on PC. So welcome to the fucking future. That's the way it's going to be. I really hope it's true, you know, because we already have those things on PSN and XBLA anyway. And some of the greatest developers of this generation, frankly, are on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. They're not getting their due. They will start getting their due when people realize that they have to start buying games and, you know, from developers, from publishers, instead of buying them used. So I wonder if the future for THQ is somewhat bright once they restructure and get their financial situation.
We're getting ahead of ourselves there. I mean, they have a lot of time before this system is on the market and they could reap those rewards.
For sure, but they're not going to be able to restructure. Even if they have to declare bankruptcy and get bankruptcy protection, that stuff's going to take a while. True. And I just wonder if these games in 2014, 2015 that, you know, for instance, Crytek's working on Homefront. I mean, that's going to be – Crytek's awesome, and obviously Homefront was good, but I assume Homefront 2 is going to be of a whole other caliber. Now, imagine if that game had to be bought new and the
only way to get it was new.
Yeah, and that how much that would reap for THQ or whatever. It's just – it kind of brings me back to Insomniac, which I also assume would consider an A developer, a mid-tier developer, whatever. Is, you know, people didn't buy their games, so they lost. You know, people didn't buy THQ's games, so they lost. If we have to look at this as a more existential and systemic problem, and I think that they kind of tie in somewhat intimately together.
Now, here's the interesting flip, Colin Moriarty.
Yeah,
and I know 720 is just a rumor, so there's no hard facts to go on. We don't get to go off this. What if PlayStation 4 didn't go this path 720 did?
I think it would clobber Xbox 720 because I just think I understand and fully accept that I'm in the minority. My opinion, and that I think people would be like, well, if I can buy used games on PS4, I can share my games and blah blah blah. then obviously I'll get a PlayStation 4, and that's huge, and that's great. I'm just telling you that the reality of the situation is, in after this upcoming generation, you won't be buying used games anymore because they will not exist. So you might as well just get used to it. You know,
just like suck it up and do it now.
That's kind of the problem I'm starting to have, is that people really are holding on to this used game thing, this sharing game thing. That's fine. We all grew up in the playground exchanging NES games and exchanging SNES games and doing all those things, Genesis and Master System, because you played that.
Yeah. Exchanging with no one because nobody had those.
You know, going and renting games and stuff. I appreciate that. I did that all the time. Like I played many a game all over rental, you know, throughout my elementary.
But that's what demos are for now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like to me, it's just a problem of now it's starting to hurt the industry. I don't think back then it was really injuring the industry. Like it's really clearly injuring the industry now. And now you have these two strata of like really super cheap games and really expensive $60 games. Everything in the middle is somewhat lost. So it, you know, you might feel like, you know, as a consumer that you're hurting and you're struggling and you know, and that's fine, that's fair, and that's your prerogative. But you have to understand that the games you want to play will not exist if the developers and the publishers don't get your money. GameStop's getting your money, you know, or the middleman on eBay or whoever's getting your money, not the guys who make the games, not the guys who publish the games and bet all sorts of venture capital on these games. So I'm troubled by that. And I was really excited by that news because I was like, man, this is going to nip it in the bud. This is going to show people that, A, PC gamers already deal with this. B, this is the nature of PSN and XBLA already. And C, this is going to be the nature of everything in 10 years. Yeah. So get used to it.
And I guess I just never quit. This is going to totally out me as being a jerk. But even when I was growing up on a student's non-salary, I never like understood like, man, I could save $5 to $10. I just wanted the game new, so I knew it wasn't all fucked up,
exactly,
and there wasn't like scratches and like the manual's
too
all ripped. I'm like, no, I want a new if I'm going to be spending that much money, I might as well spend another 10 more.
Indulge
and get
yourself.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I'm saying this not from a, you know, professional who has a salary and who obviously has money to buy games.
Burn money sometimes.
Even as
too much of it.
Even as a student. Even as, you know, a young guy, I still preferred to buy games new. I don't really see what the deal is.
I understand. I'm with you. It's interesting. Your whole entitlement argument has, you know, over the years, and we've always been on the same page on this, but it's saturated into, I think, all of IGN. Because we on GameScoop last week, we talked about this, and I brought this up, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, and they all started saying things you've said before. Like, your influence.
Your ripples.
Yeah, well, because I'm right.
You're so
okay. Number two. This is a good one.
Is it?
Are God of War 4 and Siphon Filter 4 about to be announced?
I guarantee you.
A rumor out of the UK-based magazine Play cites a source that confirms that both games will be announced as a PlayStation 3 exclusives in 2012. Furthermore, the source tells Play that Siphon Filter 4 is being developed not by Sony Bend, but by Sony London, and that God of War 4 will have multiplayer components. We reached out to Sony about the rumor, and they told us, quote, no announcements have been made, and that anything we are hearing is speculation.
Yeah, I guarantee it already. But I mean, yeah, like God of War 4 rumors, those are a dime a dozen. Everybody knows that game's coming. I think how many job listings now are out there and yada yada. Great, God of War 4, awesome, good. Put that aside.
Also, I'm on the development team for God of War 4,
right,
so
cool.
you guys wouldn't believe what we have in store.
Man, this is going to be a really boring JRPG. We need your expertise, Ryan.
We decided to take Kratos into a turn-based system.
But Siphon Filter, leaving Sony Bend, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is, because that's until they made Retribution on PSP and then they made Uncharted, they did nothing but Siphon Filter games.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And they did Siphon Filter 1, 2, 3, the 2 on PS2, the 2 on PSP. So if Sony London's developing it, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I want Siphon
Filter. Known for the Getaway.
Yeah, known for the Getaway. And obviously, there was rumors swirling about a Getaway game on PS3 that never came to fruition. By the way, the Getaway is like one of the great PS2 games. Just throwing that out there.
All I can think about is, I want to get away.
Oh, Lenny Kravitz?
I want to get away. Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz.
Yep.
I want to fly away.
Yeah!
He was a lyricist of our generation.
Yeah, he was.
Really.
He was one of the great lyricists. So I just think that's, you know, I want Siphon Filter to come back. I don't think it has any traction anymore, but...
Well, that's fine, though. It doesn't need traction anymore, right? Because you figure whenever you bring these games back, you're introducing them to a new audience, and then there's people like us who remember the original who are kind of excited for that because you already know a little bit of what you get. But you've come out with an awesome spy trailer, you'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm interested. I really hope, you know, I agree with you. God of War 4 is inevitable. Siphon Filter 4, who knows?
I guess what's interesting is they'd be calling it 4.
Yeah, because
that's just rebooting it and calling it Siphon Filter.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a continuation of the story.
It better be.
Because it did end with a... Logan Shadow ended with a cliffhanger.
Quite the cliffhanger.
But, yeah, I hope that is true. And I wish... you know, I was kind of just speculating with Sony London working on it and with the Getaway, the new Getaway game kind of just disappearing and maybe being canceled or maybe not existing at all. If this is kind of just a reworked, you know, somehow tied to the Getaway or something like that.
A lot of car racing in it.
I just wish they gave that series more love, because that especially when the Getaway came out, like in the you know, everyone was all hot about
GTA.
Well, yeah, that, but I mean, all hot about like Lock, Stock, and all hot about Snatch and stuff like that, and everyone's like loved that kind of stuff, and that's not terrible, by the way.
No, that...
Hot about Snatch.
Jesus, I'm keeping that one in there, man. I love like British crime drama and stuff. It's so good.
Yeah, me too.
So good.
I can't understand what they're saying, so I don't like it.
Really? You can't understand. Just listen to Colin Campbell a lot. And you'll get used to it.
I try. Yeah. He's not as exciting, though.
He's maybe not as exciting as the entire movie of Snatch.
Number three. Sony revealed the 10 best-selling PlayStation Network games of 2011. They are in order. And I was surprised by some of these. The best-selling game on PSN. Any guesses? I know you know, Greg.
Yeah.
Do you know what the best-selling game on PSN in 2011 was, Clements?
Oops, sorry, I was so far away from the mic. 2011? Nope.
Thanks,
I mean,
for
I can
our
make
site.
I can make a guess, but
what is it?
Saw you looking at your Diablo 3 news this morning. Couldn't look at this one though.
Got to look at my Guild Wars news and my Star Wars.
Everybody, I'll let you
know
in a secret. There's a trade on the table right now. We're waiting for a response from Charles on yet. We're willing to trade Ryan Clements and two Pachis pizzas for Anthony Gaia.
Future considerations.
And the number one draft pick the next time IGN hires someone.
Tetris. It's the best-selling game on PlayStation Network. That's really, by the way, fucking awesome. EA Tetris.
Amazing.
EA Tetris was awesome.
Well, not amazing. I forgot a game, but I love that game. Love it.
Resident Evil 4 is number two, and then Infamous Festival of Blood, Back to the Future, the game, Dungeon Hunter Alliance, Castle Crashers, Limbo, Battlefield 1943, Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection, and Magic: The Gathering. So, pretty interesting, diverse list there of best-selling PSN games.
A lot of good stuff on there.
Thank you for supplying that to us, Sony. Number four. Twisted Metal has officially gone gold.
Booyah!
Unfortunately for those that are opposed to such things, however, Twisted Metal will require an online pass. This is to be expected, as it's an online-heavy game, and previous PlayStation 3 exclusives like Resistance 3 and Uncharted 3 also required online passes. That was inevitable. This game's 10 times more online than Uncharted and Resistance.
Yeah, I like that David... I guarantee you. I like it that, you know, Jaffe spoke out against it. He doesn't like online passes, but, you know, it's probably going to happen. Like, he warned just, you know, months ago about it, and then it was.
Also, I'm really excited for that game. And I don't just care about the Guild Wars and the Diablo.
I'm gonna play Guild Wars. I'm gonna play some Dark Forces on my PC.
Yeah, but Twisted Metal, hotly anticipated by one Ryan Clements. I'll also be doing the review for IGN, unless that's changed.
You might be too busy playing Kingdoms of Amalur on your PC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to see what the future. Well, we got to see what Charles Ognette's counteroffer is first.
You get Nick Cullen on odd days as well. What am I going to do with an MMO?
DC Universe, bro.
Just DC Universe all the time. Number five, Grand Theft Auto 3 and Grand Theft Auto Vice City have been rated by the ESRB for release on the PlayStation Network. This is a telltale sign that these games are PSN bound. Whether or not they're slated to be released as PS2 classics or another some sort of enhanced trophy-enabled form remains to be seen.
That is just you. I guarantee you. That's just you grasping at straws. There's no way they are going to be given trophies or anything else. So just get over it.
I won't get over it.
You should.
I fucking won't get over it.
No, no one's listening to us anymore. They don't want to give us trophies. They don't want us to buy their products. We get it.
Yeah, I would buy those in 2 seconds, and I would pay like $30 a piece for them, too.
Totally. I agree 100%.
And finally, number six. PlayStation Vita sales continue to dive even further in Japan. Last week, Vita sold only 15,219 units, down from 3,000 from the week before. Furthermore, Nintendo 3DS continues to outsell it by about 5-1.
Meh. I doubt it. I guarantee it. That you can go either way. It's just like the sky's blue. People aren't buying the Vita. We've talked about that a million times.
Yeah.
Lots. We beat that horse to death.
Yeah.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how many people come out tonight.
Are you guys really worried, by the way? What's your worry level?
On the PS Vita?
On the Vita.
Oh, I don't care either way. You as long as I get my Mod Nation Racers, I'll be happy.
Yeah, but the
piggy.
Thing is that if it doesn't sell well, does that mean people will, you know, not really will stop making games for it? It'll die.
Yeah.
And we'll,
yes.
Yeah,
that's what happened with the PSP. I remember when they had to go do their tour to try to excite people about it?
Yeah, well, it's just that's all I'm saying is that I always, again, as I'm always the person that talks about permanence, and you know, if I'm going to be spending all this money on a system that like I'm going to be afraid months down the line or something, you just won't start seeing any games.
Yeah,
it's just upsetting.
I'm worried about it.
Yeah,
my worry level is moderate. I think it's all about just having a game, a good game, you know. And obviously we have good games. We have Uncharted, we have Hot Shots Golf, but the Japanese market needs a game, like a good, like a killer game that's right up their alley, like, you know, Monster Hunter, for instance.
Exactly.
I think Final Fantasy X is going to be huge on Vita, too. So
I think the people who are making games and the publishers and everything and developers are aware of what it is up against in Japan right now. We're releasing it, you know, the week after Monster Hunter comes out on 3DS, and we're putting no games that are, like, must-buys for most people. You know what I mean? Like, you don't mean Hot Shots sells really well, sure, but you know what I mean.
Did Hot Shots sell well, though?
It was the number one Vita-selling game over there, yeah.
But compared to other, like, games out, like, 3DS
games We don't know. I mean, part of the problem is that...
Top 20.
Well, Vita has an attach rate of only 0.9 at retail, which means people are buying their games online, and Sony doesn't give us those numbers. Yeah. So we don't really know.
I see what you mean.
I think people get that who are making games. I think people who make games like the system. They see what they like on the system, especially because it's easy to port stuff over. Look at, you know, Mortal Kombat now and then Marvel vs. Capcom. Like, it's easy to bring PS3 experiences over to it. So I think people get that. And I think that you can't say anything until it's out in the U.S. and you see how it's moving here and interesting stuff along those
lines. And Europe. Europe's going to be, the most pivotal place.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens tonight. We are going to a PlayStation meetup here at the Vita Hill event. If you're in San Francisco and you're listening to this right now on Thursday, the 26th of January, come out tonight and party with Ryan Clements, Greg Miller, and Colin Moriarty at the Vita Hill event here in San Francisco. It's up in the marina. I forget what the address is, but you can find it. Just Google Vita Hills. We're going to have the systems. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to be hanging out and playing games and filming a PlayStation conversation starring you. All right.
That's it.
That's the news.
That's it.
Cool.
We're
done.
If I didn't want to go outside and eat for cheese and I instead wanted to go outside and go to my old mom pop game shop. How could I? I don't want to bug mom. I don't want to get there and be like, "Hey, mom, what came out? Where can I go to find out ahead of time what came out the stores?"
You go to the official list of upcoming PlayStation software on all your platforms by the IGN editors.
Boo, 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 yipcha.
Nothing.
Damn it. Slow times.
But it's okay, guys, because on the PlayStation Network this week, we had Scary Girl launch.
Oh, 7.5, Peter Venkman.
And then for the PS3 games that are now available for download, you have the gem of a game, Duke Nukem Forever. You have Mortal Kombat, which is really good.
We have
demos for Pixel Junk Side Scroller, The Darkness 2, some other stuff.
Dark.
And... I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to look through the add-on content.
Don't worry about the add-on. Keep going. Add-on content, Little Big Planet Muppet Pack came out. That slipped by me. I didn't know that. Jack had to come over and ask me about that.
All right.
Trophies, new levels, new costumes. I'll be all over that. Look for impressions next week if you care. Nobody really cares about Little Big Planet on the site. Other than Vita. I hear a lot of Vita stuff. Once I get Vita, I'll tell you all about Vita, but I don't have
A bunch of bundles for the PSP.
Those came out this week.
Yeah. Including like a Motorstorm and Twisted Metal dual pack, a Patapon and Loco Roco dual pack. So that's kind of neat. For $15 for one of those packs, it's pretty good.
There's new minis, too, right?
Yeah, and there's three new minis.
Jeff Rubenstein Productions.
Here are the three minis for today. We got Bermuda Triangle.
It's a Neo Geo game.
Mm. Gold Medalist.
It's also an SNK game, yeah.
Oh, these are all just that?
Oh. And Stickman Rescue.
That's not a SNK game.
$3.99.
Okay.
A little more reasonably priced, but maybe it should be $1. Maybe.
I'd just like to point out that if you would like to download a PSP theme this week, you can now access Happy Lover's Town PSP theme.
I'll be downloading that one as soon as we're out of this meeting.
Also, Velvet versus Mega.
Sure.
All right.
Why not?
Good stuff.
That's it.
Great.
PSN update complete.
Done. Put that one on the board. All right. Let's go to the reader mail.
Reader mail.
Mail call.
Maelstrom.
Mail. Remember to be part of the show. Email us at beyond@ign.com, just like James did. Hey guys, Beyond. I have some quick fire questions for you. To Ryan, are you excited for Final Fantasy 1-3-2 more or less than you were for Final Fantasy 13?
Less, because I've already beaten it.
But leading into that, were you more excited?
Leading into it, just probably a little less, because there's other things I want to play instead.
Okay.
But you can look for my review of Final Fantasy 13-2. Friday,
tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's 27th. Tomorrow. It's the 27th.
There's
Friday, January 27th. We'll be playing it live at from 11 to 1. That's Pacific Standard Time. And then it will culminate into at 1 o'clock, we will go live with my review.
Gotcha.
Including a video review.
To Colin, what would it take for you to get excited for a new Final Fantasy game?
I think the only way I would be truly excited about a new Final Fantasy game is if it was a remake of
Six or seven.
Yeah. Even 8 or 9. Like,
I'd take a remake of 8 or 9 also, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I don't, I refuse to get excited about a new Final Fantasy game that's not a remake, since they've done nothing but let me down.
What if it was exactly like how I pitched it in my retro piece?
Well, that's different, but that's not going to happen. I mean, I love that piece, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. It's a pipe dream.
Hand-drawn sprites.
What's the name of that article there so people can
Retro Google. Reasoning.
Retro Reasoning. Google that by Ryan Clements. Final Fantasy Read Retro all about Reasoning. It. Finally, Greg, which game would you least prefer to see for the fear of the franchise being stale or run into the ground? Uncharted 4 or Infamous 3? Uncharted 4. I think Uncharted 4 definitely... I'd rather not see Uncharted 4 because I think Uncharted 4 does totally run the risk of... We're Nate and Elena and we're really happy and we have a kid and oh, now the kid's in an adventure and it's just Mummy Returns, which was a terrible movie and I don't want to ever relive that. I never want to relive that. Never!
Never.
I was so excited for Mummy Returns. Me and a friend had a friend really? Sneak us into the midnight... not even the midnight showing, the AMC screening that like they could go to, you know, the days before when they first got the reel. And we were so depressed. We were just like, this is awful because we love the Mummy. Mummy's such a great movie.
Is it?
Is it?
I never saw it.
Yeah. Rich writes into beyond@IGN.com. Dear Greg, Colin, Ryan, etc. Based on what you know, what would be the safest bets for games to pre-order with the Vita? Thank you and beyond. So we're talking the launch, I guess. Gravity Days, Gravity Rush at the top of the list, I think, for most people. But not a launch game.
Yeah, it's
necessarily.
Not. It's a launch window.
Launch
window.
So Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Hot Shots.
Hot Shots is another great one.
I say don't pre-order anything. Just buy them on the PSN.
Oh, look at you. What if you only can afford a 4 gig memory stick?
Yeah, that's a problem. Then
you got some problems.
I mean, definitely get Uncharted. I really liked Hot Shots as well. Escape Plan's now and only. I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah.
I'm
still crazy for Luminous. Can't wait.
Luminous looks
can't
cool.
Wait.
Unit 13, right? That's supposed to be pretty good.
Is that launch too, or is that launch window?
I think so.
I can't remember anymore. You should have brought it to Luminous. All right. So there you go. Uncharted. Uncharted. Oh, Ryan's so hungry.
Man up.
Yeah, man up. Judge Gerald Brown style. Man, we are off our rockers today. All right, here comes one from Suman Kugadasin. He spelled out his last name. Kugadasin. He writes and it says, "Hey, Beyond Crew, and guest if applicable." It is not applicable. I just read the mini article about Vita's ever-dipping sales in Japan, and it occurred to me that there's been absolutely no advertising for the Vita. In Canada, at least. I'm sure AT&T is making some sort of push for the 3G model. No, they are not.
No, you'd think wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing. No one knows what the hell you're talking about if you ask everyone. I thought maybe I was missing something, so I asked a few of my friends if they were going to buy a unit. A lot of them didn't even know it was being released in 2 or 3 weeks. Why do you guys think Sony seems to be making a lackluster effort here? Do you think more product awareness would help it?
Yes.
Of course it would.
I expect that the ads are going to start coming out soon. I keep calling, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but I keep calling a Super Bowl ad for Vita.
I mean, I hope so. God damn, there's nothing happening. It is weird when you think about the fact that, yeah, you know, we're at the tail end of January now, and then in less than a month now, the Vita's out, and like there's nothing on TV about it that I see. Maybe I'm missing. I only watch what Colin has on.
I think it's not too late if they start hard on February 1st, and you have 3 weeks. 3 solid weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's just like that's such a like $250 for just the system, then a memory card, then the games. Like, it seems like people need the heads up about that. I mean, think about how long and how early out we saw Homefront stuff. That was all over San Francisco forever, and it was totally like, get $60 ready. This is coming in a month and a half.
And it worked.
Yeah, totally. And people bought that game.
I think they're probably trying to. My assumption is, you know, and it's just conjecture, is that they're kind of trying to get their shit in order as far as like how they're going to bundle it, what things are going to cost. I suspect that prices are kind of not the price of the unit, but maybe the memory cards and the games and what they're planning on doing is going to, you know, still being worked out because of what's happening in Japan. Mm-hmm. And so they're not ready to advertise yet. I'm sure there's going to be advertisements for Vita. I mean, I would believe it if there weren't, but I'm sure that they're going to be.
Lee Gary writes in. Lee asks, "I have a question regarding the PlayStation Vita. Yes. Do you have to be signed into the PSN and stay signed in order to play a Vita game, or can you play it offline also?" No, you can be offline. You have to worry about it. When you enter in your PlayStation Network details, it's kind of just there. If you have your friends list open, stuff like that, then it's kind of pinging those servers or whatever. But it's more of a when you need the online, that's when it's using the online. It's not just like a constant state of affairs.
Right.
You're using an option that needs it. It knows to be on for that option. Then it goes away when it doesn't need you. So you'll be fine.
Okay.
Don't sweat. It's going to be okay, Ryan.
Oh, thank God.
Final question. Believe it or not.
Wow.
I know, and I didn't plan this for the pizza thing. This is really just the... I went through the questions. We had the resistance stuff. It's been a big day.
Yeah.
This is a quick fire from Sam.
Okay.
Ryan.
Yes.
Final Fantasy XIII-2 is just around the corner. What is your favorite improvement they have made over the last game?
Probably just the amount of exploration that you have in that game is much more significant than 13. By a long shot.
Non-linearity.
It's not the hallway.
It is not. There's no 30 to 40 hour hallway in this game.
Gotcha.
Thank God.
Greg, what did you think of Scott Lowe's "Why You Shouldn't Buy a PlayStation"? Or I'm sorry, "Why You Shouldn't Buy a 3G PlayStation Vita" article? Will you still buy a 3G unit? I thought his article made good points. If you didn't see this, over on tech.ign.com, right? And that's the name of what it is. IGN Tech, whatever the hell the website address is. Go to IGN.com. There's a tech tab right there. Right? I can't freaking hold your hand everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Jeez. Anyways, Scott posted an article up there, and I put it on Vita.IGN.com, too. So go there. About why, you know, you don't need a 3G Vita. You know, that first off, 3G is on its way out. 4G is the future. Mobile hotspots, Wi-Fi everywhere, blah, blah, blah. He made all these reasons for why, you know, 3G really isn't a big deal and why he is recommending people not buy the 3G Vita. I read it. Thought they're great points. I'm still going to buy a 3G Vita. Mm. I mean, my reasoning remains the same, that I still think it's just a fit. Like, you know, I guess that doesn't matter. It's just $50 more than the real PlayStation, the Wi-Fi-only PlayStation Vita. So you figure it's a $50 out-of-pocket expense, and then whenever I want to, I can activate the 3G. And it's a month-by-month contract, so literally it's like I can sit on it and never activate it for... the first year and a half, 2 years I own it or whatever, and then one game comes out and has something really cool in it that uses 3G, and I'm like, oh, well, totally, I want that. And again, if they can figure out a way to let me tether to it, that'd be awesome, because my iPad is Wi-Fi only. And, like, this is the flip-flop, right? Like, my iPad I take with me places, and it's Wi-Fi only, and I've never been, like, there's only been, like, one time where it's like, oh, man, I really wish I had 3G for this one moment. And so if I could tether it that way to download stuff, that'd be great. But I'm not worried about it. I think it's really cool for the location-based stuff, like Nier. I want to be able to use Nier wherever I am and stuff like that. So I'm still interested in it. Mm.
Fair enough.
Wi-Fi is good for me.
All right, good.
That's all I need.
What are you doing, Cole?
I'm not even going to play the Vita.
Oh, okay. All right. You're wearing your Escape Plan shirt and you're heading up Vita. Colin, you're on for Sam.
Okay.
Kingdoms of Amalur looks awesome. What kind of character are you playing as? Race, gender, preferred weapons, etc.
I'm playing as a human. I forget the specific name of what their humans are called. Warrior thief mix.
Male.
He's got a mohawk and a sweet mustache.
He does have a crazy mustache.
I like playing like that. It's pretty cool. It's unique. I mean, Reckoning lets you play in very unique ways. So my guy's like got heavy armor and a long sword, but he also has daggers on his side, and he has like a sneaking skill, so he can just sneak and backstab the shit out of people, which is... I was showing Clements yesterday. I was going through a dungeon
filled with poor little gnomes.
Filled with gnomes, and I was just—they were like—they're like so sharp, just sneaking up on him and brutalizing them.
He like called me over. He's like, "Yo, come on, scream!" And like his character is there, like crouched down, and the character just slowly creeps up, and there's this little gnome, like this tiny little creature, just wandering around. And he just grabs him. He's like, stabbing the gnome.
Yeah, you press triangle right behind
blood
him.
Blood is shooting
him.
Out everywhere. Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's brutal.
I enjoy that game.
And yeah, Reckoning is. My review goes up next week. Obviously, the review in progress will be updated for the final time tomorrow. Reckoning is very, very, very good. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to rendering my final verdict on it.
Tomorrow's update, Friday the 27th, that's got a video component to it.
So tomorrow we'll have a video in addition to probably four more pages of the review. Probably more. There'll probably be two pages of my final thoughts and then two pages of more reader questions. But I don't know exactly what that's going to be yet. But there's going to be a video. We recorded it. It's being edited now. It's about character customization. It's about destinies and abilities and skills, which are all intimately intertwined with each other in the game. I love the way the game builds skills out and stuff like that and gives you destinies based on how you're playing your character, which is really cool. Yeah. Next week, we'll do another video about combat, which is cool because there's so many cool things you could fight with. Hammers and long swords and short swords and daggers and chakrams and staves. And bows and arrows and things of this nature. So we'll do all those things.
Things of this nature.
Greg,
I was just gonna say the combat in that game is just
fantastic.
It's really good.
Really fun.
It's really. I've never played an RPG with. I've never played a Western RPG. I'm gonna say it. I've never played a Western RPG with gameplay this good.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg, didn't I already submit a time off request
you
for
did.
The 7th?
Yep.
I'm gonna stay home and play Amalur
on your PC.
He's playing on his PC.
Yep.
On my PC, where good. It looks better and runs better.
You'll probably be traded by then anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. I can't wait for next year's PlayStation Awards for 2012. And, well, I don't play any of these games.
I don't know. I've been playing Guild Wars.
Playing Guild Wars all day long.
Playing some Guild Wars and playing some games on Steam there.
Maybe
that's what I will be doing, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond, episode 224. Remember, Podcast Beyond is fun, and you need to subscribe to it on iTunes and rate it. And if you don't like it, then don't give us a review on iTunes. Don't do that. But you should if you like it.
Okay.
All right, yeah. But remember, as much fun as we have here, IGN.com is the thing that pays the bills, so please go to IGN.com and read articles. While you're there, click around. Leave comments. We'll respond.
Yeah.
Go to my IGN. Have a fun time.
Yeah.
Beyond that, though, Beyond. Follow us on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Ryan is Pwom Cider. Colin is No Taxation. IGN started a new channel thing, too. A new TV broadcast network kind of thing on YouTube. So go to youtube.com/start. Follow that. Subscribe to that. I have my own talk show, so look forward to that on the 31st.
I'm excited
that starts.
To watch your show.
Well, I hope it doesn't suck. We're filming the next one tomorrow. Yeah, if you're ever in San Francisco on a Thursday, we also are now recording live episodes. So follow me on Twitter to find out how to get into that. Ryan, take me home.
Sounds good, buddy. I just want to make a quick point to Keith and Sam, who in November last year won some Final Fantasy posters that were never sent.
Okay.
I'll try and get those sent out to you soon.
Oh, you will not.
For the record, ladies and gentlemen,
I'm going to have our social team send them out.
Yes.
And then I'm never doing a giveaway.
Yeah, exactly.
We're about to talk about this. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that IGN.com pays the bills, and we do this for fun, and we're writers by trade, idiots on camera by choice. We have no fucking clue how to run community stuff. We gave away those Uncharted Collector's Edition, still underneath my desk, except for the one kid who drove up here to get it. Because he's like, hey, what, is this easier if I came? I'm like, yes, it would be. I will get those out eventually. It's just that we don't have packing materials. There's no mail room. We have to actually go do this, and we have real jobs.
And we have no time.
Exactly.
Did you give him his headphones, by the way?
Nope.
Oh, if he wants to drive back up for his headphones, he can.
He comes to things. He's a good fellow. So he'll probably be back for an up and
show. Do you
remember
his name?
Alec Verrera, I think.
Okay.
Alec
or Alex or whatever.
If it's Alec, for sure.
Talk to me about getting your headphones.
Anyways, we don't mean to be giant jackasses. We're well aware. Somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, and I'm so sorry for this. During the Resistance spoiler cast, we asked you to make videos, and many of you did, and we never picked a winner on that competition, but we know to. It's coming.
Yeah, once things slow down, then...
That's the problem. Nothing slows down anymore. I don't know about it, if you remember these times, ladies and gentlemen, but it used to be... After Thanksgiving, man, it was dead here until GDC. Like, you could do whatever you wanted. Now it's nonstop work all the time.
Yeah.
And in the summer, I remember when I first started here, I played all of Super Paper Mario RPG or whatever the hell it was called on Wii. I would never have that kind of time now to dedicate that to it.
You would never do that in general.
Great game. No, not true. I like that game a lot.
Lies.
Anyways, so we are trying to get the packages we out have now, and then we will never do a giveaway outside of saying, hey, Tina from Social Team, please help us and give this giveaway.
Yeah.
We try not to be jackasses.
Just playing my Wii.
Just playing
my Wii and my Granny Smith apple.
I lived with Micah back then. I ate Little Caesar $5 pizzas.
Oh, eating my Little Caesar $5 pizzas.
Fresh and ready. All right, people are walking around with pizza.
All right, we got to go. So, to end the show, as we always do, we'll end it with a song submitted by you, the community members, and you can send them to beyond@ign.com, just like Zach did. Zach writes, Beyond.
Yeah.
Greetings, Colin, Greg, and Ryan. I've been a fan of the show since the first episode, and I've enjoyed many laughs, thanks to everyone who has graced the hallowed halls of Beyond. After over 200 episodes, I feel it's time for me to give back. I'd like to submit a song from my band Ice Cream Sunday to be played on the podcast.
Nice.
It's titled awesome Video Game. Games, and I think the Beyond community and other gamers who are listening will appreciate it and likely relate to the sentiment. Anyone who likes the song can purchase our record, We're Just as Sweet, from iTunes, Amazon, and CD Baby.
That's awesome.
They can also follow us on Facebook and watch our music videos at youtube.com/icecreamsundaymusic. Thanks for everything, gents. Keep up the great work. This is from Zach, a fun little song called Video Games from Ice Cream Sunday. Beyond.
Beyond!
Houdini! Yip-cha!
Yip-cha!
I wanna play video games. I wanna play video games with you. I've seen this level before, but with you I'd play it 100 times more. long enough to know all of you. It's a feeling I just can't ignore. I'm so proud of you, 'cause you beat my top score.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.